It's the morning show. We're discussing the global race to manufacture a vaccine for COVID and the rising concerns about the vaccine approval process. And meanwhile, dozens of health organizations, physicians, scientists, they all signed onto a letter sent last week to leaders of the Food and Drug Administration urging the agency to make the vaccine approval process fully transparent. So would you get a COVID vaccine if it were available today? How do you feel about clinical trials? Did you volunteer to be part of a trial? Conversation is right here at 800-642-1234. Conversation, 800-642-1234. Helen Branswell is an infectious diseases and global health reporter at Stat News. Helen, welcome to the Ideas Network.
Hi, Kate.
Well, last week, President Trump announced that there would be enough doses so that everyone in our country would get a COVID-19 vaccine by April. What do you think of that forecast?
It's a very ambitious one. There haven't been any vaccines approved yet. Nobody knows yet how well any of the vaccines that are in clinical trials are actually going to work at the end of the day. So they are already making vaccine in the hope that the products will work. And so, you know, once they get to the point where they can apply to be to the FDA for approval, if they get that they can roll it out immediately. But April is ambitious.
So walk us through this. Vaccines, they usually require years of research, years of testing. I was looking at a tracker this morning by the New York Times. There are 9 vaccines in large-scale phase 3 trials now and testing on 40 vaccine and clinical trials on humans. Can you break it down, explain where we're at in the development?
Oh, okay. So first of all, you know, it is fair to say that this is the quickest effort to, it's like a moonshot. It's the quickest effort to develop a vaccine that's ever been attempted. Typically, as you said, it takes years. But one of the reasons it takes years is because once manufacturers come up with an idea for a vaccine and test it in animals, then they start methodically testing it in people. They have what's called a phase 1 trial, which is very small. It's just only designed to figure out what the appropriate dose is and that to see if the vaccine is actually safe to continue to test. If it passes that hurdle or that bar, it goes on to phase 2, which is a little bit bigger, and when you can start to see whether or not it might be working. And then if it's successful there, you go on to phase 3. Sometimes there are months, years between the different phases. Now they're compressing them. And in fact, in some cases, instead of having just a standard phase 1, they're having a phase 1-2 or phase 2-3. So they're really trying to find ways to test them robustly, but shave off any excess time from the process.
And so when it gets to the point where there's a double-blind placebo-controlled trial, which is considered the gold standard, can you explain that at that level of a trial, what's going on?
So there are several of those right now. I mean, well, first of all, after phase 1, they're always going to be placebo-controlled and double-blind. But phase 3 trials is really what you're talking about. Those are the large trials that tell you whether or not a vaccine works. There are 3, I think, underway right now in the United States, more elsewhere, a number in China, for instance. And the ones that are in the United States are enrolling tens of thousands of people, 30,000 in several cases, and I think about 45 in the case of another vaccine. And what they're doing there is giving half of the people the vaccine and half of the people a placebo, whether that's saline or another vaccine. And then they're watching those people for a period of time afterwards to see how many contract COVID-19. As you start to get cases within the trial group, that's when it can start to become clear whether or not the people who were vaccinated are more protected and the people who weren't vaccinated are having higher rates of illness. That's what that's how they can tell if it works.
And you mentioned China. What does vaccine development look like outside our country and the regulation around it?
Well, you know, there's a lot of development going on all over the place. China was out very quickly, out of the gate very quickly, and I think they have about five or maybe six vaccines in advanced levels of trial. And in fact, they're using a vaccine in the military that was just, they tested it through phase two and then gave an emergency use authorization for members of the military.
Helen Branswell is a senior writer for Stat News on the Infectious Diseases Beat, covering outbreaks, preparedness, research, and vaccine development. Do you think the White House's pressure on the FDA to fast-track a vaccine will cause you not to get one when it's available? Do you have trust in the work of the FDA? Where's your trust eroding? Still time to talk, 800-642-1234. We'll continue this conversation ahead with journalist Helen Branswell here on the Ideas Network. You're with us for the morning show as we discuss growing concerns about COVID-19 vaccine candidates. As we've been talking about, large companies are in these phase three clinical trials. And a new survey by Pew reveals that Americans are becoming increasingly skeptical about the effectiveness and potential side effects once a vaccine comes to market. Would you get a COVID-19 vaccine if it were offered to you? Conversation right here, 800-642-1234. Join in to the conversation, 800-642-1234. Helen Branswell is a global health reporter for Stat News covering infectious diseases, and she stays with us. So, Helen, once these vaccine candidates get out of the trial process, what is the FDA approval process like? Take us through that regulatory process.
Well, the FDA has pledged to hold advisory committee meetings. That's something that it does whenever it is considering licensing a vaccine. And that is an open session where a bunch of experts who, you know, as the title would suggest, advise the agency on what the data show and, you know, whether they think a vaccine would be useful, will go over the data and do that, as I said, in a public fashion. That's good news that they have said that they will do this with these vaccines. There is a meeting scheduled for October 22nd. It's been scheduled for quite a while. And people had been, I think, worried that it would be sort of the place where a vaccine might come out of a clinical trial early and get approved for deployment. But I don't know that there's going to be enough data at that point to do that. So this may be more of a general meeting than a specific meeting about a vaccine.
So Helen, how effective does a vaccine have to be to not only meet the regulatory approval, but to actually work and be effective against preventing COVID-19?
Right. So vaccines are, you know, different vaccines work to different degrees. I mean, there are some that are extremely effective, the measles vaccine, for instance, and others like the flu vaccine that can be less effective in certain years. In June, the FDA issued guidance to the vaccine manufacturers who are working on COVID-19 vaccines to say, here's what we need in order for us to agree to license a vaccine. The minimum cutoff for efficacy, the protectiveness, is 50%. So the vaccines will have to protect at least half the people who've been vaccinated.
So that means like if you vaccinate 100 people, 50 people will not get sick, not get the disease.
If they're exposed to it. Although it's even more complex than that, because when you do science, you don't arrive at one number.
Okay.
You have what are called confidence intervals. So it's like the best, you know, it looks like it's 50%, but it could be a little bit one way or another. And what they've actually said is that the lower confidence interval can't be below 30%. So in theory, a vaccine could be approved that was 50% effective, but in some people it might be less effective than that.
This doesn't sound very impressive of infection prevention, but is that not the case?
Well, a vaccine that could protect even half of the population would be a big step forward, you know, from where we are now.
Uh-huh.
It wouldn't be a home run for sure, but it would really diminish the threat that COVID-19 surges could overwhelm healthcare facilities, for instance. It would really take a lot of pressure off there. So it could do a great deal of good. Obviously, something that was more effective than that would be better. And it is hoped that over time, some of the later vaccines might be even more effective than that. But we're going to have to see data before anybody knows.
Helen, thank you for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
Helen Branswell is an infectious diseases and global health reporter for Stat News. Coming up, we talk with the FDA commissioner, Dr. Stephen Hahn, about transparency, about regulatory standards in making these vaccines. That conversation is ahead. News update is next. Stay with us on the Ideas Network.